Is it working now?
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
With a sufficient degree of dynamics.
Again, say it again.
I hope my voice will come through sufficiently strong so one can hear what I say.
Yeah.
All right. This was David Fowler, a professor of history at Carnegie Mellon, a very nice man. He's married to Louis Fowler.
Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Project Number 2, November 5th, 1975. Marion Cohn and Fay Roth with Frederick Dorian. We are so glad to be with you, Fritz, and you're so nice to let us come in. Can we start from the very beginning?
Just as you wish.
Where were you born?
I was born in Vienna, Austria.
What year?
On July 1st, 1902.
Can you tell us about your father and mother?
My father was a merchant who, during his career, acquired several titles and honors. One of them, of which he was particularly proud, was that of Kommerzialrat, which means Counselor of Commerce, which at that time was very rarely given to Jews, and it implied that he would be received by the emperor in an audience. And I mention this because my father always referred to this day, outside of the day of his marriage to my mother, as the most happiest day in his life.
That's very interesting. What was your father's name?
His name was Alois Deutsch. D-E-U-T-S-C-H. A name...
Alois.
A-L-O-I-S. A name I later partly abandoned for reasons into which I might go if he come to that crossing from Europe to America.
What was your mother's name?
My mother's name was Therese Neumann. N-U-M-A-N-N.
And they were both from Vienna?
My mother was born in Vienna, as were her parents. My father came from what is now Czechoslovakia, and he was the son of a rabbi in a small Bohemian town of Rudnice, or Raudnitz, one of 10 children.
And when did he come to Vienna?
He came to Vienna, I think, at the age of 16 or 18.
That's very interesting. I didn't know that. But your mother was born in Vienna.
My mother and her parents were born in Vienna. My father was bilingual and talked both German and Czech. But the Jewish community in Raudnitz talked German. That, by the way, was one of the tragedies of the Jewish population in that part of old Austria, that the Jews actually were the carrier of culture, and they were the ones who unwittingly upheld the spirit of the German culture within the Slavic environment. My grandfather, and that has a musical significance, was a teacher, and he was a tutor to the children of Prince Lobkowitz. L-O-B-K-O-W-I-T-Z.
Now, wait,
Lobkowitz.
L-O-B.
L-O-B.
And his name. Your grandfather was a tutor.
Grandfather Gabriel Deutsch.
Yeah.
Gabriel, as we say.
Yeah.
Among his many duties to make a living for 10 children.
Yeah.
In that small community. Was tutor to the family of Prince Lobkowitz, whose father, the prince's father, was the patron to whom Beethoven dedicated the Eroica after he turned up, the dedication to Napoleon. That's a famous story.
Isn't that marvelous?
Yes. You see, the palace of Prince Lobkowitz still stands in Vienna. And this is where the Eroica was first performed.
Fritz, that's fascinating.
My grandfather had money only to send one of the 10 children to the university. And that was the oldest brother of my father, Dr. Karl Deutsch, who was a distinguished attorney, corporation lawyer in Vienna.
Can we talk about your brothers and your sisters? Did you have brothers?
Yes. May I say one more thing that is even more important?
Yeah.
On my mother's side, I can assure you, I do not want to brag, but I think that belongs substantially into this circle of reference. The brother of my maternal grandfather,
the brother
of my maternal grandfather, am I on tape now?
Yes, you're on tape.
Was Angelo Neumann, who plays a major part in the biography of Wagner. Later I will show you the book he wrote about Wagner. He was director of the opera house in Prague and in Leipzig at different times. He was the chief of Gustav Mahler, who was a conductor at his theater at the Opera of Prague.
He was the what of Gustav Mahler? He was
the boss.
The boss?
The chief.
Course.
The director of the theater, you see.
Yeah. Well, you come from a very famous family.
Well, you see, the family has
There's been music in your life for...
Yes. Now, you see, this Angelo Neumann was my mother's guardian, because my mother lost her father as a young girl. I don't want to go into the circumstances now, I'll tell you later. It was rather tragic.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mother looked to Angelo Neumann as her guide in life, and knew Wagner, my mother, and played the piano for Richard Wagner as a young girl, I think of 11 or 10 years. And the last letter that Wagner wrote 2 days before his death in Venice on February 13, 1883, was addressed to my uncle. I have a facsimile of the letter here. I will show it to you when we pass. That letter, the last letter in Wagner's life whatsoever, was in family possession. Has disappeared since the Nazis came. I do not know where it is. As so many other things.
That's fascinating.
So much about...
Your parents.
Yes, much more could be said, because the son of Angelo Neumann was a Sanskrit researcher who translated the writings of Buddha in Sanskrit into German. I want somehow to bring out the irony that the Nazis killed so many Jews who really had done so much for German culture. You will see how Wagner addressed my uncle, calling him my patron, my sponsor, all the things of heaven bestowed on you. And that devotion, of course, Wagner, as we all know, was a miserable anti-Semite. How, under the circumstances, my uncle could be so close to him is something that bothered me all my life.
Why did your parents go from Czechoslovakia to Vienna?
My mother was never in Czechoslovakia. She was a Vienna girl. I show you later.
But your father went for any particular reason?
Well, he came to Vienna. Well, you see, Vienna was the capital of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. And every young man who aspired to a career, to a business, to fortune, to fame, My father was a modest man. He simply wanted to be happy in life. He was an easygoing person. I suppose he wanted a sweet wife and children and taking it easy.
And he went to Vienna and became a merchant.
He became a successful merchant, and temporarily the family was quite comfortable, but lost everything, as so many other families, at the end of World War I.
Fritz, could we talk now about your brothers and
yes,
sisters?
Yes, I'm one of three brothers.
One of three?
The youngest. So, yeah. My family, babies look like that. We are all musicians. Yeah. My oldest brother, Max, who is 10 years older than I, is a professor of music in Paris at the École Normale, and one of the few surviving personal students of Arnold Schoenberg. Am I going too fast?
No, you're fine. It's all on the tape.
I see. My brother Paul, who is 80, teaches piano in California, in Los Gatos, for many years in San Francisco, but he bought himself a house in Los Gatos now. And I am
Frederick, can you tell us something about your home in Vienna? I would guess, since your grandfather was a rabbi, that there must have been some religious observances.
Yes, but not in a really profound way, because for many reasons. One of the reasons being the high degree of assimilation of many Jewish families in Austria, which you might interpret as a desire to be integrated with the empire, not necessarily not to be Jewish, but to do as the Romans do in Rome, you see.
Exactly.
And inasmuch as there was a strong cultural current that came from different sources rather than from ritual, religious, Jewish sources. Mm-hmm. It was perhaps almost inevitable that there was a certain distance.
You said that your father was a successful merchant.
Yes.
So can we presume that there was always enough money?
Yes. You see, at times we were well off by European standards. You know, I make this this careful footnote, because we didn't drive automobiles in those days, and the American living standards are so high. Mm-hmm. My parents lived from the day they married to the day the home had to be given up because of the Nazis, in a house in Vienna next to Vienna's Bergkasse, where Freud practiced for 42 years. Now that plays a part in my upbringing. The proximity to Freud was not only topographically, and not the fact that I happened to see him every day of my life as a schoolboy, as a high school student, as a university student, because he smoked cigars, which he apparently wished to buy fresh every day. And in Austria you can buy tobacco only in state stores as alcohol, liquor, in the United States. And that tobacco store where you also bought newspapers and stamps was across the house where I was born. Every afternoon at 4:30 came Sigmund Freud with his dog, a Chinese Shaw. And after the dog died, the puppy, to the tobacco traffic. Naturally, if you lived in that neighborhood of Vienna, the 9th district, let me describe it humorously as Viennese Squirrel Hill, because Well, Gentiles lived there too. It was the Jewish middle class, professional people, many doctors, lawyers, white collar workers who lived there. And it was Freud's domicile, as I say. Obviously, when shopping, my mother and Mrs. Freud met. Freud had 6 children, 3 daughters and 3 sons. The boys went to schools with my brothers. The oldest son of Freud, I think Martin, it was Martin, who went to the same regiment during the war as my brother, as an officer in the Austrian army. The family physician of the Freuds and of us, Dr. Felix Deutsch, was the same. I could continue and show you that
do continue.
There were connections. One of my fondest childhood memory, or rather juvenile memory, is I was so fascinated. I'm very fond of animals. The dog of Freud, you see, this Chinese kind of a dog, was unique in Vienna at the time. And I looked forward to seeing him. He was not allowed to take the dog inside of the shop. So I took some sugar to feed the dog. And he came out and was very annoyed by me. And he threatened me with his finger, shook the finger against me and said, "Du darfst den Hund nicht füttern," you know. And so I never fed him again. I mentioned it right now for a curious reason. I received for my birthday a few months ago 2 pages from a monograph of Freud about Moses and Michelangelo, which one of my students got for me from Anna Freud, the daughter who, as you know, is a science psychologist in London. And when I received, I'm going to have it framed when you come again, perhaps I will have it here. When I received it, I naturally wrote a letter of thanks to Anna Freud, whom I personally do not know.
Oh, you don't know her.
I do not know her, you see, I wrote to her in my letter, taking it very serious, some of my childhood memories, because what would have been the purpose of assuring her that her father was a great man? I didn't have to do that. Or just saying, "Isn't it nice of you that you did it for me without knowing me?" And instead of it, I wrote her a long letter. It took me a week to write it, and she wrote me the most wonderful answer, which I also like to show you after you're finished with that, telling me that her older sister, upon her marriage, moved into the street where we was born. And one of the reasons that Freud always walked up and down that street was obviously as a family man, that he visited his oldest daughter upon her marriage. So you asked me about the background.
Yes.
You see.
Did he have any influence on your life?
A very deep influence. My closest friends became MDs, physicians. By the way, the Nazis killed them all. And I heard him lecture. And I finally underwent psychoanalysis at the age of 19, I think.
Who underwent it?
Psychoanalysis, I.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
With Freud?
No, not with Freud, but with his important associate, Paul Schilder.
Oh, yes.
I have here the book with the pictures. And this I also wrote to Anna Freud. And she wrote me in her answer right now that Schilder was her teacher. You see, sometimes the world is so small and there are so many connections. Yes, I mentioned the psychoanalysis because it sustained me throughout my whole life. And I would go so far to say that the catastrophe in my life, you see, that I can no longer walk except on crutches, was for me easier to combat. Not only to take, but to combat, I would say, on the basis of my psychoanalytical training, or experiences, I should say. The ability to think it out and to trovato tutte le parti senza sapere.
Frederick, at the point that you were in analysis, were you in the university then?
Yes, you see, I think it was my freshman year.
I see.
And what university?
University of Vienna.
Did you, you went all through school in Vienna?
Yes, I went to two schools in Vienna.
Yeah.
State Academy of Music. That, you see, is a kind of conservatory.
And at what age did you do that, the State Academy?
Parallel. Parallel with university. Mm-hmm. And the University of Vienna, and those two schools have no connections whatsoever. At the university, I studied musicology and earned my PhD at the age of 23. With a dissertation that was published. I have the name of the dissertation on this list.
Oh, good, you have a list.
Yes, you see.
And how old were you when you became interested in music?
Oh, I was what you call a prodigy. I played the piano with 4 or 5. My mother taught me all my life. It was inevitable. My father was very upset. So all 3 of his sons, you know, turned to music. Eventually, one of them he had hoped, you know. I couldn't tell you the story. You know the story of the Holy Mary. Well, I'm digressing too much.
Well, we could stop a minute if you like.
Well, I'll tell you the story later. Yeah, every Jewish mother wants her son to be a doctor. You know that story.
Yes.
That was not exactly the situation with my parents, but that none of the 3 pursued the profession of law or of medicine was a disappointment.
Frederick, so all of your schooling was in Vienna?
All of the schooling was in Vienna, and I also studied perhaps my two most important teachers I like to mention. The teacher in musicology, Guido Adler. You will find it on the curriculum vitae which I typed out.
Yeah.
Adler. This man was a pioneer of modern musicology. And I was fortunate enough that he was still there when I came to the university. Those were his last 4 years, exactly. My undergraduate years coincided with his last 4 years because after the age of 70, he stayed on for 2 more years as honorary years.
But you went to public school as a young boy?
Oh, yes.
Or private school?
Only to public schools. To the humanistic high school where we had to study Latin and Greek. I mentioned that because it was very useful in my later studies.
I